Matthew chapter 24. We've had many, many studies out of this particular part of the Olivet Discourse, understanding the power and the prophecies that are presented here within the Word of God. What I would like to present to you has to do with the thought of what's taking place in Matthew 24, beginning at verse number 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man do what? Deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. Verse number 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. All these are the beginning of sorrows. I would like to present a study to you tonight focusing on that statement in verse number 8. That 1948 was the beginning of the end. If we're going to have a journey, if we're going to walk down a road, then we have to take the first steps of that journey. You have to go out the front door of your home. You have to go down to the street. And then you turn right or left and you take a step and you start your journey. If you're going to go on vacation, you have to get into your automobile. And the journey, the vacation will not begin until you turn the switch on the engine and have the car roar to power and then put it in drive. You can sit there all day, burn a tank of gas in neutral, but you begin the journey by putting it into drive and going forward. I submit to you tonight as Bible scholars and students that we love to study together in Trinity Baptist Church in many of our classes and our small groups and then in the main auditorium as we are tonight, that there's a point, a focus point, a focal point in world history that we can look to as Bible students and understand what started in that particular year. It appears to have been the beginning of the end, the starting point that we can see. And the Bible says that this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. That's 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1. Now, if you'll notice the phrasing of that verse of Scripture, it said, this know also that in the last days perilous times, and then what have we emphasized for you? Shall. That there's a prophecy. It is going to happen. There are going to be perilous times. There are going to be events happen. And then, if you'll notice with me, it says that this know also that in the last day, perilous times, plural, shall come. It's not one time, one event, but there are going to be many events. And when you begin to look at our world that's around us, what do we see taking place? We not only see Matthew 24, verse number 5, 6, 7, and 8, wars and rumors of war, pestilence and earthquakes, but we're also seeing the duplicity of multiple events going on at the same time. We're seeing perilous times for sure. What about this? The International Blasphemy Day. That we're now have websites and we have groups. And they're not only in this world living here, but they're gathering to blaspheme God. They're bragging and boastfully declaring that they're going to curse God and insult God and blaspheme Him. And so they use the guise of free speech to see that. And what we're seeing is that there is more than one danger taking place. Can you imagine this toy manufacturer? He's got a Crucify Christ kit. You can buy this for your children, and they can crucify Jesus Christ. Is a part of that same concept of what we used to think was sacred and special. Can we even imagine the day and the hour that we're living in? But the Bible goes on and it talks about that right before the Lord comes back, we'll begin to see multiple events taking place. We're beginning to see that there's a rebellion going on in the hearts and in the lives of people. We've got people that are rebelling against their parents. We're seeing they're disobedient to mom and dad. We're seeing it at an earlier age. We're seeing it in the lower grades. We're seeing an edge and an animosity and an anger and a frustration on our children, on our teenagers, on our young adults. And parents are saying, where did that come from? What happened to the innocent, beautiful child that I've enjoyed for these years? What in the world is going on? Well, we're seeing that that spirit of rebellion is part of the end times. While the wars, the rumors of wars, the earthquakes, the pestilence, while all those are happening, all these other things, the spirit of blasphemy, the spirit of skepticism and cynicism and humanism, all of those things are filling our world through the internet and television and movies. And the end result is there's an anger being born in a generation. They're rebelling against their parents. They're rebelling against their teachers. They're rebelling against authority. And ultimately, they're rebelling against the Holy God. No one is going to tell me what to do. The anarchy had a anarchist had a march even here in our little mountain town. And one of the statements, what one of those arrested was, they said, why are you knocking out windows and why are you doing all the vandalism? And he said, no one is going to tell me what I can or cannot do. Well, the ultimate rebellion is ultimately against God Himself. And you are the generation that has lived to see this. And then another part of this, I won't have time to go through all of them, but is without natural affection. We're seeing that. It's not normal. It's not natural for parents to abandon their children. We're seeing the divorce rate reach 51%, even in churches across America. That's not normal. That's not natural. It's not normal for mothers and fathers to say, I'm going to turn my back on my wife, my husband. I'm going to walk away from my crying child. And I'm going to go do what my flesh wants to do. That's not normal. That's not natural. It's part of the perilous times that we're living in. In December 2011, Sarah McNean, she kills her boyfriend, and then she takes the life of her own three children, 8 years old, 7 years old, and 10 months old. And then she took her own life. It's not normal. It's not natural. On February the 6th, this week, we had a man who has been accused of the murder and the disappearance of his own wife. He gets his little children to come and visit him. And he explodes his own house on February the 6th. And he takes his life and the life of his children. It's not normal. It's not natural. It's a part of the day and hour that we're living in. We saw last week the arrest of public school teachers in Los Angeles, California. And these two teachers were arrested. One has been teaching 32 years. He's charged with 23 acts of sin and violence against children. And he has been placed under bail $1 million per child. And his bail is $23 million because of the seriousness, the gravity, and the unbelievable wickedness of his sin against children in the public school system of L.A. It's not normal. The teacher is to be the protector. The parent is to be the protector. This is to be the example of authority. This is to be the example of society and its control. But what we're experiencing, ladies and gentlemen, is that we're seeing a generation that is completely out of control. All moral footings and shorings have been removed. We're a society that has become the lovers of pleasure. That's what the Bible said, that they'll be lovers of pleasure. And it's all about me. It's mine. It's mine. It's the self-society. I don't care who I hurt. I don't care what I get into. I want to be happy. I want to have a party. I don't want to have responsibility. And all of this that we're seeing had a beginning. It had a place. It had a start. You think about Hollywood and how the lead characters of Hollywood are literally out of control. You think about the people, the personalities. You think about all that we see, whether it's the pitiful life of Lindsay Lohan, one of her many mug shots, or Tara Reid, the former MTV host there, intoxicated, or Charlie Sheen with his life in complete disarray and completely disconnecting from reality. And yet they want our children and teenagers to believe it's okay. It's normal. But I'm telling you, it's not normal. We are not going to be brainwashed by the world. Someone has to stay and stand on righteous principles and moral principles for this day and hour that we're living in. But that's not the final assault, because now we're seeing that there's no real God. Any God will do. It doesn't matter which one you believe in. Let's just coexist. Let's just believe anything. And the Lord God Jehovah is now pushed aside. It's okay to have religion. Just don't say the name Jesus Christ. You can have religious activity, but don't call Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're seeing the results of this. What are we experiencing? We're experiencing 1 Peter chapter 7, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 7. And it talks about the end of all things is at hand. The end of all things is at hand. And this is the beginning of the end. I said to you earlier, if you've noticed on each one of those slides, we've got 1948 in the top left-hand corner and the beginning of the end in the bottom right-hand corner. Why are we reinforcing that? Well, as I said earlier, if I'm going to go on a journey, I have to begin. If I'm going to undermine the foundation of a nation, I have to start chipping away. If I'm going to cause the lighthouse to fall, I have to start taking the sand away from under the lighthouse. If I'm going to change your morals and your values, I've got to start re-educating you. And if you're too old and too set in your ways, then I'll forget about you and I'll focus on your children and your grandchildren so that that generation could be educated. The Bible declares that we should hold fast till He comes. Revelation 2 and verse 25. God's word is declaring to us that we should not give up our children, and we should not give up our heritage, and we should not change church to religious entertainment. We should not trade in the inerrancy and the infallibility of God's holy word. We do not have to turn God's house into a popularity contest. We do not have to apologize with a mouthful of political correctness that Jesus is the Son of God. And that Jesus said, I am the door. And Jesus said, this is the way. Walk you in it. You need to understand that there's pressure being placed on the country, on the world, on the community, on the city, even on churches and on families, on your children and your grandchildren. But we've got to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. We've got to be established for this day. And what did He declare for me and for you? He said, you hold fast till I come. He's encouraging me and encouraging you. He said, just stop for a moment. Look what is happening. Look what did not happen last week, did not happen last month, didn't happen in the 60s, it didn't happen in the 50s. Look where it started. It was the beginning of the end. And if you go back and review it, then look where you are today. Then how close are you to the sounding of the trumpet and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, for me to hold fast. He said, for me not to give up. I'm still going to bring my family to church. I'm still going to read the Word of God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord by His help and by His grace. Don't give up. Don't give in. Hold fast. We have seen all these things. And because God has blessed you with studies and insight, you can now say, thank you, Lord. I understand a little more. I have literally seen in my lifetime the beginning of the end. 1948 seems to be that focal point. It seems to be the point of interest that I associate with in my studies. The starting point, this generation, the age of Bible prophecy, the pre-written history of the Word of God. What happened in 1948 was that we began to see things that could only be thought of as science fiction. Well, that cannot happen. That's Buck Rogers. That's a comic book. That's fantasy. But yet all of a sudden, things began to happen in 1948 that have changed our world and have changed the world that I'm in tonight. And God says, when you back up and look, what do you find connecting? What's the common weave through this prophecy? It seems to be this day, this year of 1948. The age of fantasy is now becoming the age of reality. If I go to 1948 and I begin to write down what happened and what occurred in line with the Word of God, the first assault that I see is on the creation itself. It's on the fact that we saw man develop a theory called the Big Bang Theory. And George Gamow, he started the push to remove God from creation. That's the beginning. If you're going to destroy the foundation, you've got to chip it out. You've got to cut it away. And so what do? We start telling our university students, and we start telling our high schoolers, you know, creation is just too far-fetched. But let me give you a theory about a Big Bang, an explosion. That's a lot easier to explain than God created the heavens and the earth. And so they begin to start that process of re-educating a whole society. The year is 1948. And what we thought to be impossible, unbelievable, has now become the new normal. The countdown to change humanity. The generation of the end times. It appears that the year 1948 was that launching point for Matthew 24 and verse number 8. The Big Bang Theory was the first giant step to attack creation. In 1948, we had the invention of the Polaroid camera. Now, Edwin Land invented this camera, and what is so important about that is that it's the first time we can have an image appear out of nothing. You put a piece of paper in this camera, you take a picture, and you pull it out, and you remember those old rollers on the end, and they would mash the developers as it would come out, and holding on to it, the magic appeared, and the image appeared. And things that we started reading about in the Word of God and had read about images, and all of a sudden, we begin to see man is in the image business. We can create our own miracles. What was the year? The year was 1948. In 1948, a scientist by the name of Dennis Gabor. Dennis began to present a mathematical equation and began to develop a theory between light and images and transmitting that image over the wires. And the beginning of this was the process of the invention of the hologram. And it was invented in 1948. And what did they do? They transmitted the first live, interactive 3D hologram across Europe from London to Berlin, Germany. The year? 1948. A method to produce a 3D image by recording and storing that image and then playing it later through a split laser beam with illumination and depth to give it the 3D effect. And we see it. And this is the man, Dennis Gabor, that invented it and the theory of making images that were being able to be recorded and replayed. All this took place, the equipment, the development, and the invention in 1948. And holography was invented in this year, and we have a very understandable relationship with Walt Disneyland, Walt Disney World, and Abraham Lincoln. And they used that technology for many, many years for him to give the Gettysburg Address. When was that invented? When was that technology started? 1948. So we are seeing it. 1948, Norbert Wiener, he published his first paper on cybernetics. This was also 1948. The study of control and the communication between artificial and biological systems, the science of making a machine come alive. A machine can live. A machine can have an aspect of life included inside it. When did that begin? 1948. Cybernetics was presented. And Professor Wiener, he presented his study on cybernetics. And then it wasn't many summers later till we had the Bionic Man on television. The technology. And now we're seeing what was once science fiction. We're now seeing it incorporated into daily life all across America and around the world. You're seeing what happened in 1948. We saw that the power was given to the country and to the world. That we could begin to think about power being given to an image. Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 14. One of the miracles of the Antichrist, it says that he deceiveth them by the means of those miracles. You see, what's been taking place is that a whole generation is being educated and re-educated to the fact that there can be a merging of the machine or the image and the biological life. How is all of this possible? It's unbelievable. The more I studied and the more I looked, the more it felt like your brain would have overload because so much happened in this year of 1948. But what was happening was actually an explosion of knowledge, communication, the beginning of the end. As a student of the Word of God, Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 4 says, even to the time of the end. Even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. And what does it say? And knowledge shall be increased. We're seeing that happen since 1948. And what happens in 1948, we begin to understand a prophecy that Jesus made. You say, in 1948, yes, in 48, we started understanding something that Jesus had said almost 2,000 years ago. And what did he say in Luke 21 and verse number 25? He said that there would be a time where we would be looking after those things that are going to happen in the sun, the moon, and the stars. That there would be signs. And how can you have those signs? How could they be there? Someone has to witness it. If it's just one fella in Asheville, North Carolina, well, he's got to be outside in the backyard. He's got to be looking at the heavens at the exact moment to see the sign or the miracle in the sun, the moon, and the stars. But the Bible says that there's going to be the whole world observing it. Jesus is actually saying that He will come back at a time when there's global communications available to the world. Think about what He's saying. Think about between the lines, the inference. Matthew 24, 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness, here it comes, unto all nations. And then shall the end come. The technology has to be there. Luke 21 and verse number 26, men's hearts failing them for fear, war, famine, earthquakes, distress of nations. If you go to any hotel, any restaurant, any airport, any train station, there's going to be television monitors up around the world playing news. And all day long, they're playing distress, war, famine, rumors of war, earthquakes, floods, terrible storms, murder, crime. It's nonstop. It's 24 hours a day. And what does the Bible say? Men's hearts failing them for fear and looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. 2012 has become the year of fear. We'll come back to that in a later study. But we need to know where we are today. And what we've experienced in 1948 was literally the birth of global communications. Increase in knowledge. 1948, television had been around in limited form for about 10 years in experimental stages. But something happened in 1948. The power to shape minds and the power to change truth into a lie became the platform of our country. 1948, we had the birth of the television networks. ABC was born in 1948. Philips Laboratory began experimenting with broadcast television in 1948. In 1945, there were fewer than 5,000 televisions in the country. Most of them were in military installations or in government research offices or in places of higher learning. Fewer than 5,000 in 45. But when you come to 1948, what do we have? We have 1 million televisions all of a sudden all over the country. It's now gone from the laboratory and the military to the homes. I remember as a little boy going next door to the neighbor's house to watch Ren 10-10 and to watch cartoons. Hey, because only one house on the street had a television. But everyone went to that one house to see what was on TV. We started the process of changing. And what else happened in 1948? You will be shocked to know that Channel 13, New York City, went online. Channel 2, Los Angeles. Channel 5, in Cincinnati. Channel 11, in Baltimore, Maryland. Channel 10, in Philadelphia. Channel 11, in New York State. Channel 9, in Chicago. Channel 4, in Salt Lake. Channel 6, in Richmond. Channel 5, in St. Paul. All of these began their broadcasting in 1948. That's just a few of the stations that turned the power on in 1948. What has been the end results of the television in the home of America? Television weaves social themes and agendas. If you want to talk about euthanasia, you want to talk about homosexuality, you want to talk about teen pregnancy, you want to talk about doing your own thing, you want to talk about rebellion, all you have to do is to weave it into a sitcom and have America laugh at sin. And that's what we started doing. And there you begin to see the things of the Modern Family and Dexter and Skin and Californication. And what are you seeing? You're seeing that all of a sudden we're desensitizing a whole generation to the fruits of sin. We can't even blush anymore. We've seen it all. We've heard it all. And now the four-letter word has moved into the mainstream. And what did they say? They said that sometime this year, they're going to allow, FCC is going to allow the ultimate profanity on broadcast television during the family time. How can that be? I'll tell you how. Because back in 48, we lit this nation up with television, and it could have been for good, it could have been for entertainment, it could have been for education. But we, a little at a time, we let down one standard and one barrier and another standard and another barrier until now there's no stopping, there's no putting the genie back into the bottle. You add to that what is developed now with the internet and we've gone to another level of communication. But where did all this begin? 1948. On December the 29th, 1948, the United States Department announces they plan to put satellites into orbit, that they're going to begin the broadcast ability of television around the world. This began in 1948. In 1948, another inventor, Claude Shannon, he developed the information theory in 1948. The mathematical laws governing the transmission and processing and storing of digital information. This is the electronic communication age. Here's the founding father, Claude Shannon. And when did he present his work in his paper? Why, it's 1948. How many things entered into the world in 1948? These are the things that will allow Revelation chapter 13 to be fulfilled. It couldn't happen. It hadn't been invented 1,500 years ago. It wasn't available 1,000 years ago. It wasn't available 1800s. It wasn't available in 1950. But in 1948, we started a journey toward all of these inventions, all of this technology, and now on our watch for this generation, we've seen the media's power to change the viewers of the world from a biblical worldview to a humanist worldview. Ask the people out of your church that have traveled to the Holy Land what they're always shocked about. That American rock music's around the world. That MTV is in every hotel in the Middle East. That the gospel may not be, but MTV is. It's educating them. And that you'll meet children in Petra in Jordan wearing a rock t-shirt. You'll have people in the Middle East that know our rock singers because of the education of the world. It is happening. And when did it start? 1948. The media's power to change the viewers of the world from a biblical worldview in the beginning God created to a worldview of a Big Bang theory and evolution and no morals and no values. And whatever you want to do, you go do it. It started in 1948. What are we seeing now? In 1948, we had the birth of all things, the age of the computer. 1948, Bell Labs and AT&T, they worked together to develop the transistor. And the transistor had to be invented, because if you're using vacuum radio tubes, a computer this size would take enough electricity to power a small city. But it's not practical. So you may have the technology, you may have the computing ability, but you cannot afford to power it with radio vacuum tubes to do the computing. But in 1948, Bell Labs and their scientists, working with AT&T and their scientists, they invented a little instrument called the transistor. And that transistor doesn't take as much electricity, and now all of a sudden it's practical and affordable. And what happened on June the 21st, 1948? Why, the first stored computer program in the history of the world. A stored computer program was played on a Manchester Mark V on 6/21, 1948. The first program was played, and the age of the computer was born when that Manchester Mark I played that program. The very first computer program in the history of the world. 1948. Something else happened in 1948. The tape recorder was invented. The way to store information, to store music. This is way before 8-tracks. This is the magnetic tape recorder. It was developed by a company called Wireway, and they invented that recorder. You know what else happened in 1948? We sold the first tape recorder in America to the public consumer in 1948. Something else happened in 1948. We had a theory presented on quantum electrodynamics, and that was invented and presented in 1948. All the technology that we were going to need in 2012 was coming out of the closet into the minds of men into scientists and researchers. And where was it being born? 1948. From the computer to the recorder to quantum electrodynamics. And now what are we seeing? We saw a brand new communication platform. Social change is now possible. We can now connect the world. We can tell the world. And we can see in Jude verse 8 that some people have good dreams and have good goals, and they want to educate and to help and to do science and to save lives and to invent MRIs and robotic surgery. But in the midst of that, we know there are filthy dreamers that defile the flesh, those that despise dominion and speak evil of dignities. You read in the book of Jude that right before the Lord comes back, all of these marvelous things will begin to be polluted. Romans chapter 1 and verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Fools. And you'd be seeing verse 25 of Romans 1, they changed the truth of God into a lie. 1948 seems to be the focus point of the beginning of the end. 1948 seems to be the concentration, the starting, the jumping off point of wars and rumors of wars, famine and earthquakes and pestilence, and the explosion of technology that the Word of God could be fulfilled, that the book of Daniel would be sealed until the times of the end. And how will it be marked? What Daniel was not allowed to tell in the book of Daniel, John the Revelator could tell in the book of Revelation. Why? Because between Daniel and John is the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord's only begotten, that we would understand He is the Messiah. He is Yeshua. He is the Son of God. He did come, and He is coming again. And you are so blessed because you are the generation that has seen all of these things. You see, the disciples asked Jesus there on the Mount of Olives, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming? And what shall be the sign of the end of the world? And a lot of those questions they asked that day, 1948, we started seeing God allow the answer to come to the human race. And where are we today? Well, in 1948, we saw the kings of the East begin to move on the world chessboard. What happened in 1948? We had the birth of communist China. Did you realize that happened in 1948? The Chairman Mao, 1948. Chiang Kai-shek, he moved the provincial government off of mainland China to Taiwan. When did all that happen? 1948. 1948, we had something else major take place. North Vietnam was separated from South Vietnam. Vietnam became two countries. Vietnam was divided. When did it get divided? 1948. Vietnam became North Vietnam and South Vietnam. 1948, we saw North Korea and South Korea birth. Korea was divided into two countries in 1948. And the kings of the East were moved. 1948, we had the Islamic world of Pakistan out of the war with India. And now, in 1948, we've got two countries. We've got India and we have Pakistan. When? 1948. Vietnam's divided in 48. Korea's divided in 48. China's divided in 48. India's divided in 48. What in the world was going on in the world? Well, I'll tell you, 1948 was the beginning of the information and the equipment and the technology that we could understand the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s till now. You hold in your hand with your cell phone more computing power and information source than all of those computers had when they filled up a room. And now it's been compressed down to just the size of one smartphone. Everything they had in that whole room. How could that be? Because God said there'll be a generation where knowledge will increase and they'll be running to and fro. They'll have to stay in touch. And He was telling us what was coming. When? Right before He comes back. Hey, you need to know that you've lived to see the day and the hour when this is being put into place. And because of the computer technology, what happened was the next part of that. It was the explosion of the global economy. And the computers then were put into the banking system. And then as they were placed into the banking system, it changed banking forever. And then the banks started being linked together. And then all of a sudden Canada and America are linked. And then Canada and America and Mexico are linked. And then the U.S. and Great Britain are linked. And then Europe. And the next thing you know, because of the computers and the technology, the whole world is tied together in a global economy. All of this began at the same time. You see, there's one other event I have not discussed with you. 1948 was the charter for the United Nations that began in 1948 with 66 nations. An interesting number that we'll come back to on a later study. 66 nations in 1948. And you see, now we have a global authority. So if we have global banking and we have a global authority, something else happened in 1948. The International Monetary Fund was founded in 1948. Oh yes, something else happened in 1948. The World Bank was put on the scene in 1948. So now, along with the United Nations in 1948, the GATT organization to talk about commerce and trade, global commerce and trade. That was 1948. United Nations Charter, 1948. Global Commerce and Trade, 1948. World Bank, 1948. Are you seeing a pattern, ladies and gentlemen? God wanted us to know that we are alive in this day, in this hour. You cannot have Revelation chapter 13. You cannot have a verse in the Bible that says, no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark of the beast, or the name of the beast, or the number of the beast. If you haven't been through 1948, that's where it all began. That was the beginning of the end. And that's how close you are to the coming of the Lord. Oh, one more small item. 1948. Israel becomes a nation. May the 14th. 1948. Oh yes, the major stockpile of the Dead Sea Scrolls is found in 1948. God hid a nation away for 2,000 years, but He also hid His Word away for 2,000 years, that they could uncover the book of Isaiah and know that it is the inerrant, infallible Word of God, that the prophecies that He recorded were going to happen, and they had happened, and God permitted it all in 1948. So that we would know how close we are. For the first time in 2,000 years, the world would now have a homeland for the Jews. God's prophetic hand starts the final countdown for where we are. He doesn't use a Timex or a Rolex. This is God's clock. This is how God tells time. It's God's clock, the nation of Israel. And as we assemble here tonight, Jesus the Messiah is coming. Are you ready for His return? The beginning started with this countdown for the end of time. The greatest warning to any human being with intellect is the return of the Jew to the homeland. That the Bible is the Word of God. And for you articulate students of prophecy, you can see tonight how God used 1948 to be the beginning of the end. All of the technology and all the inventions were all making possible Revelation chapter 13.